Time for our fortnightly catch-up with gardening guru Linda Hellinan. Hi, Linda.
Hi there.
You got monarch butterflies on your mind.
Oh, it's just, you know, it's summer when you see the first monarch butterflies floating through a garden. It does. I think it always makes you feel special as a gardener when you see butterflies in the garden, and you kind of forget that they're there because you've planted something to make them come here.
What are they like?
Well, so the thing with monarchs is mostly people would grow swamp plants. You know, they're common as muck. You get them from the garden centre, and they are certainly a real favoured food source for the caterpillars. So you can't really have them breeding in the garden unless you've got some swamp plants. But you don't have to stick with the plain ones. There's some really lovely, pretty milkweeds as well, like bloodflower. So it's a different species, but it has the same effect for caterpillars, and you get gorgeous flowers as well.
It's good to know.
Yeah.
And they have to find you, I suppose, once you plant the swamp plant.
Well, it's really funny. The University of Kentucky, their Department of Entomology, did a study a few years ago, and they found that it only takes 2 weeks for monarchs to sniff out a swamp plant in an urban garden. So they basically just planted them around, and then they waited to see how long it would take. So I don't know how exactly they find them, but once they do, they'll float in, and they will lay their eggs, and before you know it, you'll have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of caterpillars. Mm. And we all know what they look like. They're yellow and white with black stripes. Very distinctive, very big caterpillars. And so once you've got them, you know that you're on your way. And from there on in, it becomes like a life and death struggle for survival between the caterpillars and the butterflies and, unfortunately, the wasps.
Yeah, the wasps are a big problem, hey?
Oh, such a big problem. And it's quite heartbreaking too, because a lot of people will grow swamp plants so that their children can see the caterpillars hatch out and then grow into a chrysalis and then spin, you know, beautifully hatch out as a butterfly. And then you've got all these chubby caterpillars, and then all of a sudden you've got the hollowed out husks of a whole lot of caterpillars because the wasps have eaten them.
Yeah.
And so you can stop that from happening. And in fact, it's quite handy if you take the same approach to the wasps as you do to the actual butterflies. And that's, once you've got a few caterpillars growing on your swamp plant, cover the whole thing with insect mesh. So
yeah.
The cheapest and easiest way to do this is just to go to like a hunting and fishing store or, you know, one of the camping supply places and get yourself a real cheap tent that's got a mosquito cover.
Oh, yeah.
And you can just bung that over the whole plant. So just put some stakes in the corner, or you can use some, you know, fly screen that you'd get from, say, a hardware store, and then peg that down so that no more butterflies can get in. And that way you can watch them all grow up and have their life cycle safely inside some netting, and so the wasps won't get them.
Interestingly, I have a bit of a problem. We've got a lime tree at home, and we had so many tiny little limes 1 year, and then I just saw the birds head in, and they pretty much ate them all. So I'm going to try and set up some sort of netting myself on my citrus this year to try and get them through that crucial part of the season.
Oh, and the birds are really bad at the moment. I've got all sorts of problems with birds, mostly blackbirds, but also the sparrows. Like, they'll come down and they'll scratch my seedlings out of my seed trays, which,
really?
You know, if you've spent 3 or 4 weeks getting a plant to a tiny stage, it is not to be appreciated, I've got to say.
I had a beautiful plant I planted the other day, and it's just disappeared. I've got no idea what's got it. It could be my 18-month-old, but it's just...
Well, I've been trying to grow bottle gourds, you know, the old-fashioned water gourds that
people
used to grow, and they're so hard to get them to germinate, and I finally got them to germinate, and a blimmin' rat came along and ate the whole lot, just dug them up. And so, we seem to be challenged, aren't we, by gardening? But when things go right and you've got, you know, your garden full of butterflies, you do feel like you're winning.
Yeah. Monarchs have their own problems, but I guess they're not as rare as some of those other butterflies, New Zealand native butterflies, who apparently have a bit of a long-standing feud with monarchs.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I didn't know this. I went to the Chatham Islands earlier this year, and I went to Admiral Gardens, and there are no monarch butterflies on the Chatham Islands. They haven't been able to get them established there, and the reason is that the red and yellow admirals just basically beat them up. So they chase them away from the gardens until they eventually die out. So one gardener introduced them, and she tried to get them going. She got them for 3 years, and she said they'd just chase them off to the pine trees, and then they'd run out of food and die. It's terrible.
Okay, so a good project for the kids, as long as you're willing to look out for them. And do I have this right? You recommend getting a couple of plants?
Yeah, always buy two plants, and always buy the biggest plants that you can afford as well. What you want to do is you buy one plant and you leave that out in the open for the caterpillars, and you take the other plant and you plant that into like a quarantine so that they can't get to it. So cover that with insect mesh, and that's very fine mesh, and let that grow into a decent sized plant. And that way you've got an emergency food source, because you will need it, because we all know what happens is that they eat the entire plant and they're just about ready to go into a chrysalis. But then when you run out of leaves at that point, they'll die, and you can only feed them pumpkin. It's kind of like an urban myth that you can feed them on pumpkin, but you can only really feed them on pumpkin in that last sort of day before they spin the chrysalis. It doesn't give them enough nutrients, basically, to keep them going right through a whole instar.
Again, don't want to inadvertently start a horror show for your children when you're trying to teach them about nature,
It's terrible, but yeah, so always have two and then just keep one aside. And the other thing is that we treat them as annuals, so we plant them every year, but they are actually perennials. And if you can get them through a mild winter, like the one we've just had, I mean, most of my swan plants that self-sowed from last year actually made it all the way through winter. And one thing that you want to watch out for around about this time too is also the yellow oleander aphids. So you'll get a lot of aphids coming onto those swan plants and you have to squash them. You can't spray them, otherwise you will also send your caterpillars to an early grave.
Linda, thank you for your advice. Have a lovely weekend in the garden and nice to chat to you as always.